The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Ross Briley, John Budden and Craig Forsyth in the studio. A big Saturday to look forward to. It's Imperial Cup Day, William Hill Imperial Cup Day at Sandown. There's also jumps racing from Ayr and Chepstow and a good card on the all-weather at Wolverhampton as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Yeah, I'm very well indeed, Mark, and some excellent racing.
Yes, there is. We'll hear from Ben Bramley shortly as well. He's looked ahead to the Imperial Cup for us, so we'll move on to that shortly. We've also got Cheltenham just around the corner, John. Anything standing out to you at the moment for Cheltenham? Have you got anything on the portfolio in the anti-post betting?
Yes, I have actually, Mark. I was at the Carlisle preview on Thursday evening, and it was very interesting, really, because it was a fairly small panel. Myself, Wilson Rennick, and Lucinda Russell, and partners Peter Scudamore, and you know, they gave some fairly interesting information about their own horses. Lucinda and Scoo did, and I do think they've got a major chance of picking up at least one win, if not two. I've always been a fan of a horse called Green Flag, as you might know, Mark. And Green Flag is running at the festival, and apparently Lucinda and Scoo drove up from Cheltenham, where they'd been to look at the ground, and they'd also done a preview there, I think, and argued most of the way as to whether Green Flag should run in the RSA or in what was at one stage the William Hill Handicap Chase on the first day. It's the third race, I think, on the card. And eventually they decided, and I agreed with them, that Green Flag would go for the handicap rather than the RSA. He's about 16-1. He's very well, apparently. And he's got every right to be involved in that handicap. He's on a decent mark. And if you look at his form, it's been improving throughout the season. And he ran an excellent second in the Feltham, the novice chase at Kempton on Boxing Day. People said it was the worst renewal of the Feltham for ages, if I remember rightly, and put a pencil through the whole form. But then they had to erase that pencil mark when Anna Cotty ran so well at Cheltenham on trials day, and Green Flag was second to Anna Cotty. I think he's got a very decent chance, and they're hopeful of him. But they exuded confidence about their other horse, which is Tap Knight. Now, Tap Knight is either favourite or second favourite for the Burn Plate on, I think it's the Thursday, later in the week anyhow. And they believe that Tap Knight has improved significantly on the last run. Now, I was in the studio when Tap Knight ran last, and I couldn't believe the money for Tap Knight. He is, of course, owned by J.P. McManus. He's the one horse in the Lucinda Russell camp who's, they train for J.P., and AP had done his audio before that Cheltenham, obviously, and he had rather suggested that Tap Knight would need to improve quite significantly to get into the mix. And I was astonished at the backing for the horse, but he ran remarkably well. He did, in fact, finish third in that race, running on strongly up the hill behind Wishful Thinking and Double Ross. It was a highly competitive handicap, and I think that the Russell Skew camp are fairly optimistic that Tap Knight will go well in the Burn Plate.
Okay, Tap Knight, the 10-1 favourite for the Burn Group Plate at the moment. So you've given us a couple in those races, John, at big odds. If I were to ask you for a festival banker that you'd be pretty strong on, what would you go for at this point?
Well, Festival America will be Dynast in the Ryanair. I think distance is right. I think the horse is absolutely right. And according to Peter Scudamore, son Tom is very, very confident that the horse will run a big race. And, you know, he's a class individual. And I think the Ryanair is absolutely right for him. So my banker at Cheltenham will be Dynast in the Ryanair. But very, very quickly, just a couple of other points. Donald McCain thinks that Corinne Wood will actually go very well in the RSA Chase. Apparently, according to the Irish, according to Peter Scudamore, Morning Assembly is the horse they've all got to beat, the Fahy horse in that RSA. Donald McCain's best bet of the festival, in his eyes, is Indian Castle in the Kim Muir, the Full Corwin and Kim Muir Chase. Very impressive winner, actually, at Cheltenham last time out. Mm. Jumped well, stayed on strongly, and could be under the radar. That's what Donald McCain thinks. And finally, a little bit of a sort of a possibility. You may remember, Mark, at the festival last year, I was tremendously keen on the Ray Green-owned and Pauline Robson-trained Rival Destroval,
yes,
in the former. And I still believe he would have won,
yeah,
if he hadn't if he hadn't come down the second last. Well, the same connections, I understand, have laid out their ex-French horse, Upsilon Bleu, for the Grand Annual. There is a bit of a question mark as to whether he gets in, but if he does, he must have a very decent chance at a very long price. This is a horse who, you know, is always been highly rated, and his last two runs, if you look at them, have been, you know, certainly above average. He only just failed to beat Nicky Richards's Simply Ned at Doncaster over fences. They were well clear of the third and the fourth. And last time out, he was actually placed over hurdles in the Moor Battle Hurdle at Kelso. And that's a good class hurdle. So, you know, he could be a long price possibility. Upsilon Bleu for the Grand Annual. See if he gets in.
Okay, 20 to 1 with us at the moment, John. So that'd be a nice price winner should that come up. So that's John's thoughts on the Cheltenham Festival, only a matter of days away. And we also had a Cheltenham Festival preview night here at William Hill, and if you go to the website and click on the horse racing pages, if you just scroll down about halfway down on the right hand side, you'll see a little video on there, and it's a video with John Frankham, Jim McGrath, Kate Miller and Stephen Powell, and they're previewing the Cheltenham Festival. It's a very good watch, so have a look at that if you get a chance. But we're going to move on. John, we're going to look at Saturday's racing. As we mentioned, a very good day to look forward to on both codes, really, isn't it? With the jumping at Sandown and a good card at Wolverhampton. And you've picked out a few races for us. We'll start at Sandown, John, in the 2:05. And the race you've picked out here is the William Hill National Hunt Novices Handicap Hurdle Final, which is a Grade 3 over 2.5 miles. And plenty of them in the lineup here, John. 17 of them at the moment. So which ones have made the shortlist?
I don't know why I've gone for this race, quite frankly, Mark. It's an absolute minefield. It always is. Top weights don't do awfully well in this. Dr. Harper is right at the top. Decent horse, Dr. Harper, but he had to go to Fakenham actually to win. He did win very easily last time out, and he's got good bumper form. Disappointed at Cheltenham earlier in the season to Dr. Harper when one or two of our Napsters went for him. I think he's got a chance, but he's got a lot of weight. Saturday, Paul Nichols must have a decent chance. Harry Durham taking a few pounds off. Cesar Millan. But then I looked at the form and I thought, a couple of wins at Taunton and only just managed to beat some mothers do have them last time out. So I thought he got to improve quite a bit. Consistent horse Ian Williams has got Portway Flyer in this race on a fairly decent mark. And Portway Flyer, well, winner at Doncaster, Ludlow, Exeter, and a good second in really quite a decent race at Doncaster last time out. Were there to be plenty of money for Portway Flyer, I would have thought that he would be interesting. I don't know if we've got any betting for it, Mark. We haven't, no. But anyhow, if money comes for Portway Flyer, I think he's got a definite squeak. Gary Moore and the Moore family. Looking forward to Cheltenham, of course, with Sade Grugy. They've got Brave Vic, also down at the bottom of the weights, but the form at Fontwell is fairly miserable. The horse that I'm going for is Classic Move in this contest. Donald McCain and Jason Maguire. Now, this race is often won by an unexposed and possibly progressive hurdler. Now, I think the Classic Move fits that description. Lightly raced, has won both his previous two races, absolutely trotted up at Catterick last time out. People would say, oh, Catterick, what is the man talking about? But actually, it was quite a decent little race, and Vice and Virtue, who is in this contest and had some previous good form, was back in fourth. I think that Classic Move has got into this race, you know, on a decent mark, and I think Donald McCain and Jason Maguire here at Sandown just before Cheltenham interests.
Okay, so a Classic Move then, the selection in the 2:05 at Sandown. To Wolverhampton we go for the next race. It's the 2:55, and this is the Lincoln Trial Handicap, a Class 2 handicap over the extended mile, and another good field here, John. Competitive race, and with some nice horses in here, some decent flat runners back out.
Yes, some very, very decent competitive runners in this contest, headed by a horse called Alfred Hutchinson, who's done Sam Turner plenty of good turns over the winter. Has done quite a lot of running recently, Alfred Hutchinson, but Jeff Aldroyd trains. I always like his horses at Wolverhampton, and he's been ridden by Robert Tart, who actually won the race last year on Strictly Silver, and is riding Alfred Hutchinson here this afternoon or on Saturday afternoon. I thought that perhaps the horse has now just come to the end of what's been a purple patch. Ran well in the Class 2 when fifth to Grey Mirage, but I thought it got a certain amount to do. Now, Strictly Silver comes into this race with a definite chance. He was the winner, as I say, last year of the contest. Was pretty well backed, Mark, last time out. I was in the studio, and it was a race that was won, actually, in very good style by the Irish race Star Lynx, who likes Wolverhampton. I think Shane Kelly's again in the saddle, and Star Lynx actually ran out a very comfortable winner, but there was money for Strictly Silver, and Strictly Silver made a lot of the running and dropped out in the last two furlongs. He's ridden by Tim Clark, who's quite a decent claimer. I don't want to, you know, show any disrespect to Tim Clark. He's a decent little rider, but Robert Winston is on board here, and Alan Bailey's team are in pretty good shape. I think Strictly Silver is likely to be heavily involved for the second year in a row. But the horse I'm going to go for is a little bit on a whim and fancy. It is for the three-time winner at Southwell, Noble Citizen. I was tremendously impressed when Noble Citizen won last time out at Southwell. Lurked at the back of the leaders for a while. Showed, I thought, tremendous acceleration to get up and win going away in the style of a very much improving horse, Mark. And he's trained by David Simcock, who's in excellent shape. And I think that Noble Citizen has got a very decent chance. Obviously, it's a bit of a fly in the air because the three wins have come on the Fibersand. But David Simcock is a very serious thinker, and I'm convinced he wouldn't put Noble Citizen in this race on the Polytrack at Wolverhampton if he didn't think the horse would act. So I fear Strictly Silver, but I'm going to go for Noble Citizen.
Okay, Noble Citizen, the selection then in the Lincoln Trial Handicap, and onto the 4:15 at Ayr next. This is our final race that we're going to look at. It's a handicap chase for the Hugh Barclay Challenge Trophy. It's a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles and one furlong. And six of them in the lineup here. John, you could probably state a case for nearly all of them.
Yes, you probably could. One of my favourite horses, a lovely grey called Kiligo Lane, is in this race, trained by Barry Murta, who's having a problem with a wind turbine on his gallops at the moment, which he finds spooks his horses. But Kiligo Lane is owned by James Callow. He's been a winner this year. He's a lovely front runner, but he doesn't tend trend go particularly well at Ayr. So I think he'll set a pace, but I would rather expect that he might be caught. I was hoping Tuchek was going to run in this race for Nicky Richards, but he has taken him out, no doubt because of the ground. Others that have a definite squeak, despite the fact that there's a big P in front of them, is Railway Dillon, for example. Again, Donald McCain, this is a horse who tends to pull up, and then win. He's a very quirky individual, but he's got form on soft and heavy ground, and he's certainly got form at Ayr. I wouldn't put anyone off backing Railway Dillon. I think he'll certainly be thereabouts in the mix. Mr. Filson is crept right down to the bottom of the handicap, ran very decently last time out. Again, loves soft ground and could be involved. But I'm going to go for Fentara. I think this is a really consistent mare who's been unlucky not to have scored already this winter and early spring, Mark, and trained by another Mark. And unless my stats are entirely wrong, Mark Walford, who has the younger son of Tim Walford, is still looking for his first win as a licensed trainer.
Yes.
I hoped I was right on that. Now, Fentara has gone very close, and this looks a race that she can win. She's a very genuine mare. She's had just a little bit of a problem with her jumping over the past two seasons. But if you look at her form, it ought to be good enough to give Mark Walford his first winner as a licensed trainer. So I'm going to go with Fentara.
Okay, Fentara then for John in the 4:15. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections then, John, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, in the minefield, the final of the National Hunt Novices at Sandown 2:05, I'm going for the unexposed classic move, Jason Maguire for Donald McCain. In the 2:55 at Wolverhampton, the Lincoln Trial, hoping that Noble Citizen will act as well at Wolver as he has done at Southwell, I go for David Simcox, horse Noble Citizen, and then Fentara in the 4:15 at Ayr to get Mark Walford off the list.
Okay, good stuff, John. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go. Those are the thoughts of Lord Budden. Then on Saturday's racing, the big race at Sandown on Saturday is the William Hill Imperial Cup. And earlier in the week, myself and Ben Bramley had a look at the race. So let's hear what Ben likes in the big Imperial Cup on Saturday.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
How are you, Ben?
Hi, Mark. Yep, I'm in fine shape, thank you. Looking forward to the racing on Saturday, this William Hill Imperial Cup. They're racing for a decent dollar there, aren't they? It's a race that in the past has seen horses win before going on to Cheltenham. Not in the recent past, it has to be said, but it's a race that really kick-starts Cheltenham week, effectively, isn't it?
It is, yes, because with it being the week before Cheltenham, you could quite easily think that you're not going to see any more clues or any horses that are going to be going to the festival, but this is one last chance for something to get into the festival and scoop a big prize, because they get, obviously, if they win at the festival as well, there's a £100,000 bonus.
Yeah, it's a nice little bonus, that, isn't it? And when you consider people tend to finish work on the Friday and then they've got a wedge full of cash in their pocket, haven't they? This is the first point before the action starts on Tuesday, so let's hope we can evaluate the form a little and hopefully dig out a winner. But that bonus, 100k bonus, is a nice pot, isn't it? When you look at the race, a lot of the horses, they're so well handicapped, some of them, they're struggling to get into races. I've heard quotes from Regal Encore's connections that he could do with another £10 on his back to be in the likes of the County Hurdle. And you could say the same about Vibrato Voltat. If it got a penalty, it's still not guaranteed to get in the County Hurdle, because it'd make him about number 50 on the list, even with a penalty. So it's tough to get in there, but it's a nice little race, this 14-runner affair, isn't it?
It is. So let's get stuck into it. I'll spin you through the betting to start with. At the moment, as we record this, Regal Encore is the 9-4 market leader. Vibrato Valtat is 7-2, 8-1 for Baltimore Rock and New Year's Eve. Swing Bowler is 10s, 4th Estate 14s with Gas in Golf, 16-1 for Some Mothers Do Have Them. Harristown is 20s with Little John. First Avenue 25-1, as is Night of Pleasure. And it's 40-1 for Chesil Beach Boy and Skint. So that's the 14 of them. Regal Encore, the market leader, and he's very consistent, runs in those JP McManus silks. AP McCoy taking the ride and he's usually in the first two at least. He's won three of his six starts. And what do you make of him?
Yeah, it's, when you look at that race at Hexham, going back to the 11th of December, Matt, when he was beaten by Seo at midnight, you'd have to say at the time it felt like a monumental disappointment, didn't it? He was 4-1 on favourite. He was given quite a bit to do by the champ on that occasion and finished two lengths second to Seo at midnight. But when we've seen the subsequent exploits of that horse in winning that good race at Haydock last time out and had beaten a good yardstick in Racing Pulse as well at Musselburgh the time before, that's turned out to be really good form. And you could argue now that off a mark of 130, Regal Encore is really well handicapped if you take that literally. The time before he'd beaten Saffron Prince, very short, 1-9 favourite. We didn't learn much about him there. And the time before that, he'd run up to Garde La Victoire, who's another good horse, went 8-15 at Aintree. So this is the point I was making at the start of the piece here. Finds himself off 130. If Connections really wanted to get him into one of the better handicaps at Cheltenham, he could do with another £10 on his back, really. And a £7 penalty here perhaps wouldn't achieve that objective. But there's very little doubt that this horse has further scope. It's certainly better than a 130 horse, you would argue. I think that's a fair assumption, isn't it?
I think it is, yes. And do you think he will get into one of the races? Say he wins this impressively, he gets the £7 penalty, and he's going to need probably, what is it, 10, 15 horses to
come on? Yeah, well, more than that, I think. If you look down the list, for example, I think Vibrato Voltat is number 70-odd for the county hurdle. That's how far down the list he is. And when you consider that Regal Encore is off the same mark here, 130, they're both fishing for the same ground, effectively, aren't they? So, I think it's going to be tough for both of them to get into that race, which is one of the feature handicaps, really. Mm. That's the one that people like to win to back up the Imperial Cup. It's the one that traditionally people have won to back it up. I think Olympian and what was the other one? Gasparo won the Fred Winter, yeah, didn't she? What was the other one? Olympian won this and the County Hurdle.
Olympian won the Coral Cup.
The Coral Cup, of course, yes, it was the Coral Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think there's been three horses, is that right? Blowing Wind was the one I was searching for there, 1998. And that was actually Tony McCoy's first winner in this race, going back a number of years. He's ridden the winner five times, Caspal, Gaspara, Polar Red, Corello, and Blowing Wind. Martin Pipe, David Pipe's father, had a great record in this before David took over the reins there training. I just to point out a few stats to you if I could, Mark, with this race, because we're always big on stats around Cheltenham, aren't we? And the last time that the winner carried 11 stone or more was Corello for Tony McCoy in 2003. Every race since then, less than 11 stone the winner. So real weights race, isn't it? That would take out the top eight in the betting if you're that way inclined. I think that would be pretty much too radical to do that, but it's certainly interesting that no horse over 11 stone's won it, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And if you look at who's been on board in the horses that have won it with 11 stone on the back, it seems to be always Tony McCoy, pretty much.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point, isn't it? Corello, Polar Red and Blowing Wind, 11-6, 11-1 and 11-10 respectively there. I think there's a huge danger in this race, Mark. I think one of the best handicapped horses in training is this Vibrato Voltat. Now, I don't know if you saw the race at Exeter last time out. I remember tweeting after the race that he reminded me a bit of Rooster Booster with the old weaving between the hurdles. So well was he travelling between the last two. You know, the old sawing where Daryl Jacob couldn't really keep hold of his head. And it was reminiscent of Rooster Booster when he came upsides into Sky Falcon and Rhinestone Cowboy in the 2003 champion hurdle, as Vibrato Voltat dismissed Tikris and Ravada, who was in the process of winning a race at Exeter on Monday when he departed at the first in the home straight. If you look a lot of the form of this horse, he's rated 130, okay? He hasn't been put up by the handicapper for defeating Tikris in that novices hurdle, which I think is pretty generous. He was defeated the time before that by a short head. They were 18 lengths clear of the third behind Three Kingdoms, who's now a 140 horse. And the time before that, he was second, beaten a length and a half to Vanitor, who now looks like being Nicky Henderson's stable selected in the Supreme Novices. You look back at his last three races, this horse, the way that he's travelled, he looks to be a rapid improver. And we've also heard a little whisper that the stable think he's a 150 horse. So I think he's got a fair bit in hand. If you looked at the betting early in the week, he was around about a 13-2 chance. Now, what is he, 7-2, 4-1?
He's 7-2 now, yeah.
The top two in the market here are both hugely interesting horses and could be well ahead of the handicapper. But I just think Vibrato Voltat is the better of those two.
Okay. Yeah, interesting at the top of the betting then, because you got those two obviously unexposed, well-handicapped horses.
Yep.
Both bidding for the same place at Cheltenham, if you like, in a subplot, and both could be a blot on the handicap. So it's
huge.
Interesting with those two. Obviously, then it's 8-1 barring those two. So there is value each way if you want to find something else at quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3. So let's look at a few of the others then, Ben. And we'll start with Baltimore Rock. You mentioned that Martin Pipe had a very good record in the race. David Pipe doesn't have a bad one either. He's had two winners in the race with Gaspar and Ashkazar. And of the three horses that have won this race and then gone on to claim the bonus at Cheltenham, they've all been trained by a Pipe, either Martin or David. So
that's very much the case, Mark, isn't it? If you remember, Ashkazar as well went off pretty short for the Fred Winter, I think, and was beaten into second. I forget what beat him that day, but he was pretty short, around about a 2-1 chance, as I recall. And this one here, Baltimore Rock, is really interesting too. A lot of people thought he was incredibly well handicapped when he went to Kempton two runs back, and he didn't get the best of rides there from Kieran Edgar. He got quite an exaggerated hold-up ride there and was beaten 3¾ length by Loyout. Since then has won a handicap at Ludlow pretty comprehensively, 3¾ lengths from Canadian Diamond off a mark of 116. But I guess the point with a horse like Baltimore Rock is he's got to be winning off those kind of marks, 116, to get in these kind of handicaps, hasn't he? He's off 125 now, so he's £9 higher than for that success at Ludlow. But what he's proven, look at all his form here. His last four runs have all been on heavy ground. At the time of recording this, it's due to be soft ground at Sandown on Saturday, so we know he handles the prevailing conditions. We know his trainer always targets this race and has a very good record in it. So if you're looking for an each-way proposition outside the top two, he would be a really viable option. But to me, even though there's only 14 runners, this race is absolutely red hot, Mark.
And just going back to Ashkazar, just to tell you the horse that it finished second to, Crackaway Jack, and went off 15-8 favourite. So it just outlines how much the Pipe team target this race with a mind to going to Cheltenham.
Very much so. I think, if I remember rightly, Crackaway Jack, was that ridden by Paul Carberry? You just get the result back up, because I seem to remember that Crackaway Jack got a wonderful exaggerated ride and came there swinging on the steel coming towards the last and picked Ashkazar up on the running. Of course, Crackaway Jack hasn't really gone on to be the horse that he looked like being when he won that race. Was it Paul Carberry?
It was Paul Carberry, yeah.
Yeah, I seem to remember. It was a great
good
ride.
Memory.
Ashkazar was put right out there in the race. He was fully expected because he'd won the Imperial Cup handily enough. Again, you know, you're looking here with a horse like Baltimore Rock, 1-2-5. He looks better than that, Mark, to me. It's a really good race. It's very hard for me to see outside of the front three, even though you've got some really good handicappers in opposition as well. I think we saw some positive comments from Richard Lee around Gassing Golf, didn't we?
Yes, he's been positive about the horse, but he's one of them that isn't going to go for the bonus at Cheltenham afterwards. We've seen horses in the past win this and then go to Aintree afterwards, haven't they? Just a bit more of a break. So
yeah, Gassing Golf is owned by Will Rossif, of course. It's in the bookmaking industry. I saw this horse in the flesh at Punchestown when he was really well backed in April. He was something like 5-1 into 5-2 that day, second to Dallas Siri, perhaps hit the front too soon. And I also backed him behind Vendor at Newbury when he put himself out there. He came fifth, just out of the money off 1-2-2. He's only been dropped a pound. You see, the thing with this horse for me, Mark, is you've got three that are heading the market here, particularly the top two that could be £20 ahead of their mark, whereas Gassing Golf's had quite a number of runs in his career. He started off with Samart Prescott on the flat, and perhaps he hasn't quite got that much in hand of the handicapper like the other horses. So while he's going to put himself out there and run his race, I don't think he's quite going to be good enough to fend off the top two in the market and possibly even the third in.
Okay, so you wouldn't really give too much chance to anything else. I mean, New Year's Eve arrives here in good form, chasing the hat-trick. Swing Bowler is another David Pipe runner in the race.
Difficult to put a line through both of those. He was only beaten four length, or she was only beaten four length, Swing Bowler, by Splash of Ginge in a mighty competitive handicap at Newbury last time out, but £3 higher than for that little spin there. New Year's Eve has been in fine form all season, hasn't he? Picked up a couple of pots recently, but again, you know, he's done his winning off 123 last time out at Market Raisin, up to 130 now in this better class. I'd have a little question mark over that one about whether he'd be good enough to take that next step. The only one that really interested me at a big price, Mark, would be Harristown towards the bottom of the weights there. It was a big price to beat Baradari last time out at Huntingdon, but showed really good resolution after the last to defeat that horse. Baradari, a horse that's held in high esteem, ran in a good race at Newbury at the start of the season, won by Calypto. Might be you're going for the Fred Winter himself. And even though Harristown's been put up £8 for that effort, I think he might just have a little bit more scope to go on. And there's a four-year-old in the race. Four-year-olds have won this before, and we've mentioned him a couple of times. Gaspara and Ashkazar were both four-year-olds, and he's representing that generation on Saturday. So he's pretty interesting too, but I've got it between the ones at the top of the market. Reluctantly, I'm going to leave out Regal Encore because I've got a very strong fancy for Vibrato Voltat in this race, and I think Baltimore Rock could be the one to shake him up. So I'm going to go for a reverse forecast. I think Vibrato Voltat is the win bet, Baltimore Rock for the second place money.
Okay, good stuff. It should be a cracking weekend to set us up for Cheltenham, and maybe we'll see a winner of the Imperial Cup flying the flag at Cheltenham as well, trying to get that bonus £100,000.
So let's hope so, Mike. Yeah. It's a good story, isn't it? Running for that 100k, it would add an extra dimension to any race at Cheltenham should the winner here go on to run at Cheltenham. So let's hope so.
Okay, good stuff, Ben. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Saturday.
Thanks very much, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden and Ben Bramley on Saturday's racing. A really good Saturday to look forward to with good jumping from Sandown, Ayr and Chepstow, and a good card on the flat on the all-weather surface at Wolverhampton as well. So four meetings in total. You'll hear all of the action here on William Hill's Racing Radio, and you can hear it all from 1:20 p.m. with Ross Briley, John Budden and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.